May that song continue to ring true in our lives. We are no longer a slave to fear. We're no longer a slave to anxiety. We're no longer a slave to our past. We're no longer a slave to needing to always be in control. We're no longer a slave to our uncertain future. We're no longer a slave to all of the broken parts and the destructive work of the internet. We're not a slave to that anymore. We are children of God. Our identity rests in you. Lord, you went to the cross for us. You died, you rose, you gave your life for us. We are forgiven in you. That is who we are. And there is no other claim on our life. There is no accusation against us by the evil one, because we are a child of God. And so, Lord, may this song ring true in our lives. We're not a slave. We're not slaves. We're sons and daughters of a great King. Give us, Lord, that humble confidence as we rest in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Great. Man, I was listening to you guys, and you picked the songs. You did a great job. Those are really good songs for where we're headed in the last part of Ephesians. So the gospel reading, Jesus says this clear as clear can be, that we really do have an enemy, and that we really are in a battle, and that there are consequences in this battle, and there's real win, there's real victory in this battle. So all four of those things are in the gospel lesson, so be listening for them, okay? It's from Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, and in one case 100-fold, in one another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, we're in Ephesians chapter 6 at the very end, and Paul is writing this beautiful poem, and it's a poem of protection, okay? So I'm going to read through it, and as I made this part of my devotion this week, there are three things in this poem that jump out at me. So here's the poem, and I'll talk about it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. All right, there is the poem. Three things that jump out at me. The first thing is this. We are born into a world at war. We're born into a world at war. Have you, this is an older movie. Have you seen the movie The Matrix? Yeah, so it's this movie that I found to be fascinating. And it's there's this whole other reality going on that people are completely oblivious to. And it makes me stop and think, I wonder in this room right now, if there's this whole other dimension going on, there's this battle for your attention or whatever, that when we get to heaven and we look back on our earthly life and we're saying like, wow, never knew it was that fierce. Never knew that the forces of evil were fighting against the forces of good, and the forces of good were holding back all that could be waged against us. We're born into a world at war. Now, when I read this poem, Paul is sounding the alarm, but he's not pressing the panic button. You know what I mean? He says, like, okay, we're in this war. Stand firm in the Lord, remember, in the Lord, and in his mighty power. So we need to approach this like the Paul. You know, he says, be realistic. I'm sounding the alarm, but I'm not pressing the panic button. Isn't that something? In the mighty Lord. So here, I wake up on Monday, this past Monday, and I'm envisioning a lot of you probably did too. It's super cold out. It's really gray out. I start to get out of the bed, and I'm like, man, I just want to stay in bed. It's a typical Monday. I'm depressed a bit. I'm always kind of depressed in the morning. I don't know. I'm not one of these, you know, kind of really super excited guys in the morning. And I think about the day, and you think about your day, and it's like, well, I got this and this and this. And then sort of the heaviness of a typical Monday comes crashing in at you. And I often just think that's the way Mondays are, you know? What if there's a whole lot more going on in that moment? What if? While you're asleep in your unconscious thoughts, and you have this dream, this crazy dream that in the middle of the morning you wake up and you think, like, I feel like a piece of crap right now because I'm just so devastated. And you have a really negative, self-destructive dream, and you just chalk it up as like late night taco, you know? What if there's so much going on, more going on, that there is actually a battle for your heart on Monday morning when you face that day? And so there's a battle that's going on. I'm wondering if there's battles going on in all of our relationships in this moment right now. Like, when I was on your side of this thing called church worship, I could sit, and as soon as I got into church, I could be 8 times more tired than I really needed to be. And I could hear the pastor. In my day, when I was on your side of the seat, the pastor would always start off going like, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my hearts be acceptable to you in your sight. He always started his sermon with the exact same words. And as soon as he said that, I was totally falling asleep. I mean, I was like Pavlov's dog. I kind of wonder about that. Is there the forces in this moment right now to be disinterested, to be distracted, to hear, you know, God's word with kind of just a shallow kind of, all right, been there before, done it, you know, kind of a heart. If there's a fierce battle going on in this moment. So we know that we're in this battle, but we also know that our enemy is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything, but he's been able to study our lives. He's been able to understand our weaknesses, right? Where we're vulnerable, right? And so I'm asking this question. Do you have a sensitivity about when you're vulnerable, when you feel like you're most under attack, when you're most prone to your weaker self? Like, is there a day of the week? Is there a time in the day? Is there a place? Is there ever a place where you're like most susceptible to thinking negatively, or thinking in ways that are, you know, are sinful, or acting in ways that are, you know, are sinful? For me, my most difficult time is Sunday afternoon. And I don't know why, but I feel the most spiritually drained and empty. And I feel the most accusation coming on Sunday afternoons. And the other thing is in my car, when I'm alone in my car and I'm driving, especially if it's like to here to Omaha, in town, not so big a deal, but I'm on the highway and my thought life goes back to my things in the past and I can just beat myself up for things that I've repented for 1,000 times. But my car and Sunday afternoons kind of nail me. So I'm bringing this up to you because I think it's important for us to know, are there people around? When I'm around this person, I am not my best self. Are there people? Are there places? Is there times? Are there circumstances where I'm most tempted, most vulnerable? And be aware of those things, because we're going to talk about this as we go through in terms of what is the God's strategy for us to stand firm. But here's my first thing. Okay, ready? We got to realize that we are born into a world at war, and there is actual war. And a lot of the things that we see as hurtful and in the evening news, we can't just strike that off as just personal wickedness or as something that we can explain scientifically or biologically. We're in a world of war, all right? The second thing that jumps out at me is that our job is to stand firm. It's to stand firm. Okay, we stand firm, but it's in the mighty power of the Lord. So as I think about this, it's like, it's not my job, A, to win the war. It's not my job to win the battle, okay? I'm not responsible for recovering enemy territory, launching an assault. I don't have to cut off the enemy's supply chain lines. I'm not doing any kind of reconnaissance mission. You know what I mean? My job in this whole battle is to stand firm. Just to stand firm in the Lord and in his mighty power. And I'm wondering if Jesus is like, you know, Paul's saying to us through this word, it's like, you know, just don't be an idiot. Just don't be an idiot. It's like, I'm in a bunker, and Jesus is going to do all of the fighting for me, and he's the one that's going to be my ultimate protection. And he's like, just don't stick your head out of the giant opening and get yourself picked off by a sniper. You know what I mean? Just don't be stupid. Just stand firm in the Lord and in his mighty power, right? Standing firm in his mighty power. So our role in this battle is to use God's resources not to get picked off, not to compromise, not to get pushed away, and not to run for the woods either, right? You know, not to go over to the enemy line and join the enemy. You know, our job is to stand firm in his light and power. We're not just to desert, we're not to flee, we're not to compromise. And that's where this comes in, this belt of truth, this belt of truth. And so in the belt of truth, I'm sitting by the side of my bed. It's a Monday, it's cold, and it's gray outside, and I'm feeling just lifeless inside. And I say to myself, I do not put my faith in my feelings. I do not put my faith in the weather. I do not put my faith in what I got going on today. I do not put my faith in all of these things. But what I do put my faith in the truth is this, like Ephesians 3:17. Christ will make his home in my heart, and I will trust in him. Okay, that's my belt of truth right now. Monday morning, that's my belt of truth. I'm going to put my faith in that. And so I put my faith in the belt of truth. It may be that, I don't know, I don't care. I don't care right now at this moment if I feel close to Jesus or not. My feelings are not my true self, okay? I don't care if I'm optimistic or lighthearted. I'm going to put my faith in Christ who makes this promise. So this belt of truth, this breastplate of righteousness. To me, this is the most personal connection that I have of all of these different spiritual armor deals. It's like the breastplate is covering, it's my most sensitive organs. It's my heart. It's the part of me that is my soul. I've often thought, because I know that when I die, Scripture tells me that I'm going to stand before the Lord and I'm going to have to give an account of my life. And I don't know what that's going to look like. Is it going to be a pretty joyful, easy thing? But I can picture it kind of going this way. I'm in before the Lord, and he gives me, I have to give an account of my life, and my accuser is there. The devil is there, and he's like, hey, when this guy, and he knows everything about me, And so does Jesus, and so do I. And so he's going to list it off, and it's going to go boom, 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 boom. He's going to, like a machine gun, come after me with all of my guilt, all of my shame, all of that crap, right? He's going to come after me. And then Jesus turns to me and says, what say of you? What do you say? What do you say? Give an account. And I can picture myself just having memorized Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's my account. Lord Jesus, I put on this breastplate of righteousness. Everything that you did right is covering me. It's protecting me. And so when my accuser throws all of that stuff my way, you know, the guilt, the shame, the habits, nothing sticks. Nothing sticks because it hits this breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Nothing sticks. Nothing sticks in your life because it was all paid for on the cross by Christ. This breastplate, these shoes, the shoes of the gospel, like, and the gospel is this gift of salvation that's a free gift, and it's peace that I don't have to. So, like, I don't, with the foundation of my life, these shoes are the foundation, you know, they hold everything else up. I don't have to run. I don't have to run and hide from God. I don't have to run in, like, in crazy fear of trying to please God. I don't have to strive at trying to make myself anything that God would say, okay, good, thumbs up, I'm glad you're on my team. I have the feet of the gospel, which is the free gift of Jesus' salvation for me, and it's a thing of peace. So I don't have to run and I don't have to hide. The shield of faith, the promises of God, because there's these flaming arrows, you know, these. And it's interesting when I looked into this, the Roman shield was actually made out of wood. I thought it would be made out of metal, but it wasn't. At least at the time of the first century. And so there would be a metal rim around it, but it was a wooden thing. And it was covered with an animal hide, of all things. And the animal hide would then be dipped in water so that when you were going into against the wall of the enemy and you're in the front row, you put your shield, and it was entirely the size of the soldier from head to toe, this wide and about this tall, and you were going like this, so that nothing could come at you. But the person right behind you would be having his shield over their head and over your head. And so it created this, you know, wall of, and so when these arrows were dipped in tar and set on fire, you see these in movies all the time, it hit that wet hide, and somehow it just didn't burn the shield up. So that was just fascinating technology then. But these arrows, and I, you know, these arrows, and he's like, what is your arrow? It's like the arrow of worry. Huge arrow, the wear arrow of anxiety, of uncertainty, the arrow of always comparing myself to somebody else, the arrow of putting myself down. And so we come after this with the shield of faith, like 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The arrow of being like compulsively in control, you know, and always feeling out of control. The shield of faith, Matthew 6. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not more valuable than they? The arrow of like negative talk. I know this is huge because when I pray walk with you, there's something about this just negative talk that we just beat ourselves up with. The shield of faith, 2 Corinthians 10. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that raise against the knowledge of God, and take every thought, negative thoughts, captive to obey Christ. So there's this shield. And then there's this helmet. You know, the helmet is the this thing that I said that this is probably my most vital organ, but your head is certainly the most valuable organ. But all the things that happen between our ears, boy, does that need protection, right? Like, King Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 4, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. And so this helmet of salvation is this hope that you are saved. You are saved. It's already been accomplished for you. It's this covering of hope, that you live in hope, and your ultimate hope is salvation. That Jesus loves you so much, he can't imagine eternity without you. And so covering your thought life with hope. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Jesus says when he's in the desert, man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God in Matthew chapter 4. And then in this text too, Paul says, like, you know, pray at all times. Pray for each other. Pray in the Spirit. And so we're bringing God's word to light in here. So this is the point here, that the second point is that it's our job to stand firm. Here's what I think, and this is just my opinion. Isn't it kind of weird that when you read the Bible, there's all kinds of crazy demon stuff going on in the Bible? You know what I mean? People throwing themselves into fire, people cutting themselves, supernatural strength, you know? You know, there's talking going on, there's this crazy, and we in our modern world, we look at that kind of stuff and go, well, that's probably epilepsy, or that's probably this, or this or this. You know, we have all these medical terminology for things that we can look back on and say, well, there's a medical reason for all of that. But isn't it kind of weird that in our world, at least in this country, we just don't see, we don't see the kind of evil that scare the snot out of me when I watch a movie? I cannot watch evil movies. My family tells me I'm the wimpiest guy in the world. I cannot watch, like, scary movies. I don't know why. But here's my hunch. Maybe it's because he's gotten at us. The enemy's gotten at us. We're so busy. We have such a limited time for a heart for God. It's so hard to pray. It's so hard to be in God's word regularly. It's so hard. It's so hard. We are so filled with our own agenda. The devil's like, you know what? I don't have to do the heavy lifting of creating super observable, flashy, scary forms of evil. All I got to do is keep these guys busy, and I can pick them off pretty easily. I kind of wonder about that, if that's really the ammo of our enemy, is that he's just like, he'll just keep us busy. So there's a call for all of us to slow down. There's a call for all of us just like, all right, time out. Help me, Lord, to grow. If I'm going to stand firm, to grow in a desire for prayer, a desire for being in your word. And I need, like Paul ends this thing, it's like I need to be praying in the Spirit. And I need to be praying with other people. Because if I'm by myself and I'm fighting this battle, I'm vulnerable. And if you're fighting this battle, you're by yourself, you're vulnerable. We need each other as brothers and sisters in Christ to be looking out for each other. Okay? Right? Here's my last thing. So three things that jump out at me. The first thing is that we're born into a world at war. The second thing is that our job is to stand firm. It's not to fight this battle. The third thing is this. We must be worth it. We must be worth it. If there's this fight going on, and if the angels of good got our back and they're protecting us, and I looked up the idea of a guardian angel, it's all throughout Scripture. That is not something the medieval church made up, okay? That you have angels who are covering you in protection. If that's true, and that's true, you must be pretty worth it. This realization came to me in the grocery store this past week. I was in the aisle, and I looked down, and at the bottom shelf is a box of salt. And it's blue, it's a Morton salt, it's the kind of salt you use to barbecue with. And the reason I noticed it is because I have that same box in my kitchen, and I had that box when I lived in Chicago. That's 22 years ago, okay? And so I'm thinking to myself, and this box of salt costs, and it's a box, $1.37. And I thought to myself, back when I bought that salt 20-some years ago, it must have been 20 cents. And then I said to myself, I bet no one has ever fought a war over salt. If it's that cheap, no one's ever fought a war over salt. So I got on Google. Lots of countries have fought wars over salt back in the day. But not now, because it's just salt. That was my point. You are so valuable. You're nothing like salt. You're worth fighting over. And the battle has already been won in Christ Jesus on the cross. You've been fought over. You've been redeemed. You've been paid for. Your salvation is set in Christ Jesus because he is your hope. So just go about your day. Go about your week with a deeper awareness of what's going on. And don't just don't just make things up as though, oh, that's just Monday. That's the way Mondays work. Be aware, but you're not pressing the panic button because your God's got your back, right? Do I hear an amen? All right. So what I want to do is lead it. You guys can kind of come up if you want to, the band can come up. We call it setting aside. You have a card in your pew or in your seat, and it's really taking God's word, which I gave you my best shot, and then being able to react to it. And part of our offering is not only our tithe, but it's also, there are offerings all throughout the Bible, an offering of confession, so a confession of sins. So I want you to think, when are you vulnerable? Think about that. When are you vulnerable? Is there a fear? Is there a lie? Is there a place? Is there a person? Is there a time? Is there something in your past that is your weakness? You've done something and it just seems to nag you. Is there a worry? Is there an area of negative talk? Think about that. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in that. And then identify that. That's what we're going to focus on standing firm against this week. Okay, so let's just take time, let the Holy Spirit guide you. And then when you're done, you rip it off and you put it in the offering plate. Okay, and then we'll continue on with our Holy Communion.
Humble adoration.
pray. Lord Jesus, we need your greatness because we are vulnerable and we're in a world at war. Lord, we need your protection, your strength. We need to stand firm in your mighty power. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would give us greater wisdom where we are vulnerable. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing on these pieces of paper. May they be so much more than just letters. But they're a cry from our heart to, Lord, intervene. Lord, help. Lord, be in the midst of the struggle. When we find ourselves being, once again, going down that same old path, the path of temptation and failure, Lord, we cry out to you for your deliverance. Lord Jesus, we know that ultimately you're the one who came. You're the one who died. You're the one who gave your life. You stood in our place at the cross. And all of the schemes and all of the tactics of our enemy, they all have the final answer at the cross. And you say, it is finished. And so, Lord, we declare this war over in the cross. We declare ourselves victorious in the cross. And Lord, help us to live that way. Help us to cling to that. In your name we pray, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And so it's, I think, the best part of any Christian worship service. It's the top of the mountain. It's the sweetest moment. It's the place that if you don't get there, you've missed the whole point. And that's the point of just receiving, again, a clear word of absolution, a clear word of God's forgiveness for you. And I love using Bible verses. Here's one where in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he himself, Jesus, bore our sin in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus stood in your place when you could not stand and did not stand. You didn't stand firm, but Jesus did. He died for you on the cross. And in his mighty power, and with the cross accomplished for you, you are forgiven. You're forgiven. And you live for a new day, okay? So know that in your heart of hearts that you are forgiven. We want to say thank you to our friends who visit us online and worship with us online. And we're going to now receive the sacrament and end with a time of prayer. But we're honored to have you. And so have a great week in the Lord.